Brothers and sisters, I'd like to visit with you for a few moments this afternoon about the resurrection and the importance of going home to our Heavenly Father in a clean condition. Sure, there's not much known by the living about the resurrection, because neither prophets nor resurrected persons have explained the process to mortals. Only this much, that the atonement of Jesus Christ brings to pass the resurrection of the dead. Death being the separation of the spirit from the body, the resurrection has to do with the restoration of the spirit to the body and the body to the spirit. In the words of Alma, yea, and every limb and joint shall be restored to its body. Yea, even a hair of the head shall not be lost, but all things shall be restored to their proper and perfect frame. And why is this done? Again, in the words of Alma, the resurrection of the dead bringeth back men into the presence of God, and thus they are restored into his presence to be judged according to their works, according to law and justice. Oh, how great the plan of our God! The paradise of God must deliver up the spirits of the righteous, and the graves deliver up the body of the righteous. And the spirit and the body is restored to itself again, and all men become incorruptible and immortal. And they are living souls, having a perfect knowledge like unto us in the flesh, save that our knowledge shall be perfect. Wherefore, we shall have a perfect knowledge of all our guilt and our uncleanliness, and the righteous shall have a perfect knowledge of their enjoyment, being clothed with purity, yea, even the robe of righteousness. And assuredly, as the Lord liveth, for the Lord God has spoken it, they who are righteous shall be righteous still, and they who are filthy shall be filthy still. It seems then there's good news and bad news about the resurrection. The good news is that everyone will be resurrected. All will live again. And all who have been righteous, have repented, will still be righteous. The bad news is that he that is filthy, which means has not repented, shall be filthy still. Therefore, it seems the resurrection comes to pass so that men can be judged. Judgment determines how well we have kept the commandments in the flesh. Then, looking forward to what condition we will be in when we are resurrected, probably the most important comment or commandment in the words of the Father is, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And then endure to the end. In fact, the Master has indicated that we should say nothing but repentance to this generation. Repentance seems to be the most important experience we can have on this earth to prepare for the resurrection, because none but the truly penitent are saved. So the question of question is, what makes people repent? In years I've been able to determine, once a person has sufficient faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he believes that Christ has paid for his sin, then he will repent. And it seems that very few, if any, will repent until they believe this truth. Therefore, it is vital to teach the truth about Jesus Christ as the literal Son of God, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, in order to bring souls to repentance. Faith in Jesus Christ unto repentance is the saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we experience repentance, we are permitted to make a sacred covenant with God in the waters of baptism. Baptism is for the remission of sins. And further, it is a witness before God the Father that we will be obedient unto him hereafter in keeping his commandments. Once baptized, we then receive the Holy Ghost, a special gift from God which is priceless beyond expression. The Holy Ghost bears witness of the Father and the Son and guides us to all truth and comforts us and gives us peace for the rest of our lives. The Holy Ghost is received by the laying on of hands of an elder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. At the same time, we are received into the Church and become born again sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. According to the Father, all that is required thereafter is that we endure to the end, which means that we will hereafter, one, continue to repent, two, continue to forgive others for the rest of our lives. Perhaps there's one other thing that we must do. Three, we must be nice. I do not believe there will be anyone in the kingdom, in the celestial kingdom, that is not nice. To be nice means much more than just to be good. For instance, probably the nicest thing that parents can do for their children is to give them birth under the temple covenant or to be sealed to them thereafter. There's probably nothing of greater value than this. Why? Because it guarantees to the children eternal life if they remain faithful. And this is true irrespective of what happens to the parents. The nicest thing that children can do for their parents is to be obedient unto them. The nicest gift a father can give to his children is to love their mother and be true to her. Conversely, the nicest gift that a mother can give to her children is to love their father and be true to him. Why is this such a nice gift? Well, basically, it assures the children they will never have to choose between their parents. The nicest gift that you can give to a non-member friend or acquaintance to share the gospel with them. This is probably most easily done by having a copy of the Book of Mormon delivered to them by the missionaries. Why the Book of Mormon? Because it is, in the words of the prophet Joseph Smith, the most correct book on earth. Why is the Book of Mormon so great? Probably because the plain and precious truths that were taken from the Bible were all put back in the Book of Mormon. In my opinion, a man can learn more about Jesus Christ by reading the Book of Mormon than any other book. The nicest thing we can do for a less active member of the church is reach out to them with love and tenderness and kindness and bring them back into activity in the church so that they can go to the temple, which they must do to prepare for a glorious resurrection. The nicest thing we can do for the poor is, in the words of King Benjamin, to impart of our substance to them, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. When the Lord invites us to return unto him, he means, in essence, to repent and return to his commandments, for they are calculated to make us happy and prepare us for the resurrection. Well, which commandments do we have to keep? After baptism, let's start with the Ten Commandments and add the Word of Wisdom, the Law of Tithing. Well, what's so important about the Word of Wisdom? If we do not live the Word of Wisdom, we run a great risk of killing ourselves. And that's contrary to the Sixth Commandment. Here's a statement I took from a pack of cigarettes, one of the most popular brands in America. Quote, Surgeon General's warning, smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, emphysema, and may complicate pregnancy. Sounds like it might kill us, doesn't it? What's so important about tithing? Well, if you don't pay tithing, you are stealing from the Lord, and that's contrary to the Eighth Commandment. And no one has ever prospered doing that. On the other hand, when we pay our tithes and offering, the Lord gives it all back to us. Full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How's that for a promise? The Ten Commandments are eternal laws that have not changed from Sinai to now. They are timeless, eternal laws that will never change. Keeping the Ten Commandments, plus paying tithes and offerings, and living the Word of Wisdom after baptism is the standard or guide to continue to repent, or in the words of Nephi, to feast on the words of Christ. Therefore, if you're not paying tithing, repent and start paying it. If you're not living the Word of Wisdom, repent and start living it. If you're not morally clean, repent and become clean. Repentance means to confess and forsake sins, and partake of the sacrament where we renew our baptismal covenant. Then we are clean because we have a Savior who has paid for our sins, but only on condition of our repentance. If you're not keeping the Sabbath day holy, repent and start doing it. If you're not truthful, repent and start telling the truth. If you're not honoring your parents, repent and start honoring your parents. If you're worshiping false gods such as football or baseball or golf or tennis or money, or technology or automobiles or houses or gold or silver, and you can tell what a man worships before he goes on Sunday. Then we ought to repent and start worshiping the true and living God, the maker of heaven and earth and all things that in them are. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is easy to live. All you have to do is stay everlastingly at it. We are here upon the earth to learn how to be happy eternally as we prepare for a glorious resurrection. Man is that he might have joy. And we receive our blessings from him whom we list to obey. Isn't it just smart to follow the Lord? In fact, there is no other way, for the Lord God has spoken it, and he never doth vary from that which he has said. My brothers and sisters, I am a witness before God that he lives and hears and answers prayers. I bear witness that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for sin, which he did, and to break the bands of death, which he also did. I know that it is only through him that we live and move and have our being, that he is the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, or can be saved, which means made clean. I know that this church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is the only true church on earth with which the Lord is well pleased, speaking collectively and not individually. These things I don't just believe, I know them. I bear record that Ezra Taft Benson is a living, breathing prophet of God. If I have done anything or said anything that has offended anyone within hearing today, I am truly sorry. And I humbly beg your forgiveness, for surely the central truth of the gospel is none but the truly penitent are saved, which I bear witness in Jesus' name. Amen.